Dave signed off.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. The Recruiting Animal. They sent me a note that there was going to be a commercial on, so I didn't play any music. But welcome to 2008. And I have to say, this is a great time in history we live in. You know why? Because even though I'm diverse, the holiday season was good to me. Yes, it was. Because in the last few weeks, I've received quite a lot of recognition online. I'm going to tell you all about it. To start off, it started on Christmas Eve. The Brazen Careerist told the world that the Recruiting Animal is extremely undiplomatic, but in a very nice way. I was happy about that. Then, in his New Year's greeting, Papa John Sumser called me Mr. Anti-Charisma. I don't know what that means, but it means something, and who cares as long as the guy remembered me. If Papa John, a great man, wants to salute the Recruiting Animal, I'm with him all the way. And who cares that he doesn't know how to spell my name? Penelope couldn't spell it either. But what am I going to do? Sue them? When you're diverse, that's what you have to live with. That's my message for you today. But anyway, just let me continue. Hold on. I got two great compliments under my belt, and then the real action started. I won the election for Recruitosphere Personality of the Year. J.D. Jason Davis, you know that name, of recruitingblogs.com, ran a contest, and believe it or not, I won. But then the letters started coming in. Dear Recruiting Animal, I am one of your biggest fans. I'm reading the letter now, so I have to be honest with you. What's up with that contest? Every one of the winners had double the votes of the runners-up. So it looks to me like the fix was in. Could you please investigate on behalf of all the little guys like me? Because on my little blog, I have no power. But you, you're the Mighty Quinn. I like that. The Mighty Quinn, and it pulls my heartstrings to know that the little guys need me. But that wasn't the only letter I got. Here's another. Animal, tell me, where did J.D. Jason Davis learn to run an election? County Chads in Florida? You know you didn't deserve to win. That was nice and short and blunt and to the point. But listen, here's another. Animal, you are totally the lousiest interviewer around. I don't think I'm that bad. If you didn't have Harry Joyner calling in to cover for you all the time, you wouldn't have a thing to say. So how could a pretentious, unfunny, train wreck of a personality like you win a contest when a real artist like Amitai Giverts was a contender for the very same prize? Good question, Amitai. I get the message. The public wants answers. So I've brought a lot of the winners onto the show today, all brave men and true. And I include Amy there because she's a woman, but she's a tough guy too. And they're all going to tell it like it is, as they always do when they speak to me, the Recruiting Animal, on the Recruiting Animal Show!
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both. And do you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of 6.
Welcome back! J.D. Jason Davis, are you there?
I am.
You're on the hot seat first. You want me to introduce you formally?
Sure.
Yeah, okay, so be quiet then. J.D. Jason Davis is the founder and CEO of recruitingblogs.com, an innovative and visionary transfer of the recruiting blog environment onto the Ning network platform. Sometimes friend, sometimes enemy, I've been joined at the hip to this guy for the last 3 years. Now, J.D.,
yes.
Some people obviously think that this is the kind of election that would be fine in Pakistan, but it's a shame when it happens in the USA. So what's going on here between you and me? Was this contest fixed? Did any money change hands?
no money changed hands. You know, we've done this 3 times now, and each year we've done it a little different. And this year, you know, we figured, you know, why not let people solicit votes? And we'll do it differently next year.
Okay, so in your point of view, for the record,
yes,
the people have spoken. Everybody won this contest fair and square. Is that correct?
Correct.
But I've got news for you, J.D. I don't think I deserve to win. Don Jago, Jason Goldberg, was a natural in my category. And after him, the work farce. And after him, my good friend, Emmy G.
Maybe so, but I think you're the funniest. I voted for you.
Okay, great. Thank you. So let me ask you another important question. What do I get for winning this contest? Last year, I squeaked into 10th place, and I didn't even get one lousy coffee card.
Yeah, you'll get a coffee card this year.
How much?
50.
50?
Yep.
I don't want to say that it's on the cheap side, but it is.
Well, listen, next year you can sponsor it and we can go to
the Okay, 100. Great, yeah. No trip to Florida or Vegas or wherever it is. Okay, now I got one question for you before I move on. You know, there's a lot of people. I want to circulate them. We'll have a discussion. Isn't it funny that the person who got the second largest number of votes last year, Alice Snell from Talio, didn't even rate this time around? Something screwy happened.
Nobody nominated her.
Okay, I don't even know who she was last year. Now she's disappeared entirely.
Yeah, well, that happened.
Okay, so you take a little rest there. Is Donato around? Donato DiOrio, are you here?
I am here, Animal.
Very nice to talk to you again. I'm going to introduce you. He's the CEO of Broadlook Technology, a company that makes sourcing machines. And a past guest on this show, don't call him Donnie, Donato DiOrio.
Good to be here.
Welcome to the show. Now, Donato, let me ask you this question confidentially.
Yeah.
Are you the Barack Obama of the recruitosphere? I mean, you've had a blog for about 2 months, and here you've risen up out of nowhere to become the winner in your category.
I think I had two or three people that had a lot of exposure, like Six Degrees from Dave, and that's probably what happened.
That's why you think you won? Because
yeah, I think
from
a
Dave?
Few people really like my stuff, and you know, when you give people a couple choices, they tend to pick one instead of think for themselves. So maybe that's why I won. Not
uh-huh.
Sure.
So you think maybe somebody else, by implication, deserved to win as well, but you just had the best friends. Is that what you're saying?
It could be.
Oh,
it could be, but I know it's not Fixed, being that our sponsor is a quasi-competitor for my company, so I doubt the Fix is in there.
Okay. Listen. I noticed you're doing some videos on your blog these days with your little kid on your arm. Is that something your communications manager told you to do?
I don't listen to that kind of stuff. When it's 10 o'clock at night and I got to do something and I happen to have an 8-week-old baby,
uh-huh.
She just happens to get into the video. There's
okay,
no way around
it was,
that.
You know, I thought it was just to make it more appealing to the female audience. Okay.
If that works, I'll do it more often.
Okay. Anybody else got a comment on that? I'll just let you chime in. I don't know if anyone's seen his stuff lately. No? Okay. I got a question for you. Yeah, okay. I got a question for you about the Google desktop search, which you're promoting, right?
Yes.
I have never downloaded that because I'm under the impression that it endangers your data on your personal hard drive. True or false?
I have not had a problem personally with it, but I would encourage anybody to go out and do a Google search and see if there's any problem. It really just indexes data, so it's going to continually in the background, index data, so you could then access it.
Yeah, but since it's Google, it's not like your own software. It's Google. Isn't your stuff somehow on the internet then?
No,
it isn't.
No, it is not. It's basically sitting on your hard drive, indexed on your hard drive for your own purpose. There are some insidious things out there that do that kind of thing, but the Google Desktop Search, to my knowledge, does not.
Okay, congratulations. You take a seat. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Shally Steckerl, are you there? He's not there? Okay, I'll pass him on. Dennis Smith, are you there?
I think I'm here.
Very good. First time on the show. Welcome. He's the recruiting teddy bear. Everybody's darling, the great canoodler, Dennis Smith.
That means I'm a recruiting teddy bear virgin to the show.
Well, I got to tell you something else, Dennis.
Here we go.
Okay, great. You're not that funny. Listen, I got to tell you one thing, though. We live in a great country. When I started calling you the recruiting teddy bear, nobody threatened to kill me.
How can anybody ever get upset with you, man? That
thanks,
makes sense.
Thanks, man. So you won. You know, I didn't mention that JD didn't win. He was the convener. Yeah. Donato won in the best technology blog category, if I'm not mistaken. And you won in the best corporate blog. Is that it?
Yeah, the fewest number of participants.
Yeah, you were 1 in 4. But I got to tell you, you were a unanimous choice on the last show of the recruiting. When the animal panel was on last December, they all picked you. Got anything interesting to tell us before I move on?
Yeah, let me say this first of all about that. I didn't know there was this official list of rules for soliciting votes. So I got to see this guideline next time.
There is no guideline. Can't you tell?
If anybody has that guideline, I'd like to see it as well.
Okay, we'll work on that for next time.
And yeah, yeah, okay.
There was a $50 coffee card, so, man, he better make good on that now.
Coffee? Oh, yeah, he didn't say what the presents were. Now he's telling us $50.
Uh-huh.
Amy?
Yeah, but
Amy?
I know exactly why I won, buddy.
Why did you win?
I think Dozo was putting my name somewhere in his email.
Okay, you were on the slate. That's why you won.
Everybody
won because they were on the slate. That's the big secret.
Baby.
I take exception to that.
Okay, well, you're next in the seat. She's the EVP of Talent Zoo, a recruiting firm that specializes in advertising and marketing jobs, and she's a mainstay of the Hiring Revolution blog. Over the top of her bio are the words Killer Instinct. Her boss, Rick Myers, calls her the Queen of Mean. Amy, suck it to me!
Hey, welcome. It's good to be back.
What's your complaint?
What's my complaint? I have no complaint.
You just said you disagree with Dennis.
Oh, that just being on the ballot means you won? I think that I take exception to that in the case of Hiring Revolution and Wired and Hired, two of Talent Zoo's blogs.
Okay, you guys had your own marketing list, right? Because that's your profession.
We're marketing experts.
That's right.
We were in it to win it.
Okay, and you won. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
You are the dating expert on this show.
Okay? Okay.
Christopher Hitchens says, well, that's another, but I'm going to actually put the dates to the side. Christopher Hitchens, this is kind of peripherally related to dating. Christopher Hitchens says that women aren't funny. And here's his logic. Guys have to entertain women in order to get them to sleep with them, quite frankly. But women don't have to do it because guys already want to sleep with them. Do you agree?
No, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think everyone has an obligation to make the other person laugh.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody agree with her? It's all guys here.
Yeah, guys, what do you think? Come on, weigh in.
No, they're too shy.
Yeah,
Amy, I'll come back to you in a few. Oh, why did you win? You might as well tell us.
I think we have the best blog.
Oh,
that's why we won.
Yeah. Give us some details.
I think that we don't try to pander to the recruiting community. We actually communicate with our audiences. Our blogs are focused towards job seekers and the employers, and that's who we write to. And we don't mince words. We tell it like it is.
You do.
And we have fun with it.
Okay. I'll come back to you in a few minutes. Dave Mendoza. Are you there?
Yeah, but you know,
okay.
Quiet.
I haven't introduced you yet. He's the star of 6 Degrees from Dave and the winner of this year's best all-around recruiting blog, David Bulldoza Mendoza. Now, I don't know if everyone knows what happened at last year's contest, but JD had two paths to victory, and only one paid off in the prize to Vegas. Dave Mendoza won the popular vote, but Cheesehead was selected by a committee of fat cats, of which I was a member, and he got the trip to Vegas. Bulldoza was incensed. So the first question I have to ask him is, David Mendoza, are the wounds of yesteryear healed at last? Do you have closure?
I have closure. It's an honor.
We don't need a grief counselor here anymore, right?
No grief counseling. That's
okay. Do you want to say something or should I go on?
You can go on.
Let's make an acceptance speech first, Dave.
No, I'll let you go.
Okay, Dave, you said on recruitingblogs.com, thank you, everyone. It's quite... Sorry, I can't help but laugh. Thank you, everyone. It's quite humbling. I learn from you all daily, and I take it to heart. What can that possibly mean, Dave? I want to know.
Exactly what it says. I'm reading blogs all day.
Yeah, what did you learn?
And I am learning from everyone.
Why is it so humbling?
It's an honor to be
Dennis Smith. Are you humble? He's not
Dennis.
Even there anymore. JD, do you feel humble when you read my blog?
No.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay. Is that all you want to say, Dave? Then I'll move into my big questions. Is Shally there yet?
Shally's there.
What happened? He's not here. He's not answering. Is he being quiet for some reason?
Okay. Okay.
I actually did a post on Cheeseman anyway the week before. As I said, he's one of the ones who influenced me to start a blog. So
oh, Cheeseman. Okay, good. He's not here today. I think he won in some group contest, right? He run the group blog.
He did.
But you know what? I told everybody last time that I'm quite sure he comes to Toronto sometimes. And Extra, X-T-R-A, is the name of the big gay magazine here, and I'm sure he stole it. That's got to be Dennis Smith. Shut up! Okay.
No, I'd be playing the monkey theme song.
Listen, I'm gonna just give Shally his credit in case he's the Elvis of sources, the king of jobmachine.net. Shally Stackerl, Elvis, congratulations. You know what? I'll read his intro when he comes. You know what? I'm gonna cut off your mic in a second.
Why? What's the matter?
I can't hear anybody. All I hear is your music.
I don't have any music, bro.
Oh, is that Shally?
Yeah, that's Shally.
Okay, he's the Elvis. I'll start again. He's the Elvis of Sorcerers, the king of jobmachine.net, Shally Steckrell. Ay, ay, ay. Elvis, congratulations. You're the greatest. But I know you have a new baby and that you've also got a cold, so I've got a feeling that we're getting Elvis light here today instead of Elvis the real thing. Am I right?
Well, I actually got some sleep last night for once in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But my voice hasn't returned to normal, so I'm not going to be able to yell at you.
You sound like your regular self to me. So tell me,
okay.
What's the secret to your great blogging? Amy told us her secret.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So, Shally, it's your turn.
I think the secret to my blog is really the fact that I keep coming up with new ideas all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't get bored.
People, you have new ideas, like revelations about LinkedIn or something like that, or how to do a sourcing program?
Yeah, I usually provide, you know, things that are immediately actionable. Most, not all my blog postings, but most of my blog postings are directly useful to, you know, recruiters in their daily job. I don't blog to job seekers. I blog to basically follow recruiters. So, you know, I'm talking about ways to find every contact in LinkedIn.
Yeah, okay, I get it. Any tips for the other bloggers?
I think that the preconception or the misconception that you have to blog every day is a false one. I don't clearly blog every day. I blog maybe once a week and sometimes less than that. And it's still a pretty good blog. So a lot of people kind of burn the keyboard typing away, and sometimes the blog posts get a little mind-numbing. And
yeah,
I think,
you don't like the blogosphere. You're always complaining about it, right?
I'm complaining about the signal to noise, yeah.
Yeah, well, what does that mean?
That means that there's a lot of fluff. People like to write blog posts because they're told, in order to have a popular blog that ranks highly, you have to blog several times a day, and so they struggle to come up with things to say, so they say things that aren't important.
Amy, you want a piece of this guy?
You know, can I say something?
I don't think he's referring to my blogs.
Okay.
No,
go,
I'm
JD,
not.
Go ahead.
The thing is, I mean, I think that Shally, if you can't keep up that pace of writing nothing for months and months and months. So I think if someone takes that approach, they just burn out.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. There's too much reposting out there and not enough original content. That's I think that's what makes Shally's blog good, is you can learn something, and you're not going to see it in 10 other places first. That's what I try to do as well, which is come up with something that I'm trying to figure out myself and come up with something original. And
yeah, okay, but what about the idea of a Reader's Digest, where you become part of the conveyor belt of these great men to the simple masses? That's what I do.
That's perfectly okay. That's a Reader's Digest version of some of the comments that other people write that are original. I mean, if you take a collection of, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 original bloggers and take some of their best ideas and come up with a digest, you have a best of the best. But somebody has to come up with those best ideas.
Yeah, okay.
If you try to create a Reader's Digest of all the fluff, then all you're doing is adding more noise to the noise.
Okay, right. Does everybody agree with him?
I agree
sense? Completely. Okay.
There are only so many subjects when it comes to recruiting to discuss.
Okay. Yeah, and yours is offers. That's your specialty, right?
Hey, not everybody's blogs about
and how to accurately
either,
present
right?
them, yeah.
Okay. Hey, do you know Shally, Amy?
I know of him, and he knows my partner in crime, Rick Myers, a little bit now.
Okay,
because
you're both in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
You're both in Atlanta. Okay, does anybody have a New Year's resolution they want to talk about? Who has to lose some weight?
Who doesn't?
Okay.
I lost 17 pounds.
Congratulations.
Holidays.
Good.
Who was that?
That's Shally. He's lost
weight. Shally, good man.
Congrats.
Okay, is there anybody on today that I haven't spoken to yet?
I'm sorry, what show are we on?
What show are you on? Okay. Okay. Well, anybody got something special they want to talk about? Because I got lots of questions.
Go with the questions.
Okay.
Yeah, fire away.
Who listens to this show regularly, and how can it improve?
Oh.
No? Okay.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't think it can improve.
Okay. I think it can. Okay. 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 Amy. I'm going to come back to the question I didn't ask you before.
Okay.
You're going out, you know how in those old movies, people used to go out with a number of people, and then they would go steady or get pinned or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and they had to only go with that person. It doesn't seem possible anymore to go out with a number of people at one time. Is that true or false?
Are we talking about recruiting as dating or real dating
as
dating?
You talk about both on your blog. So
they connect so well.
You tell me.
I think it's possible to date a number of people at once, but
oh, really?
less possible than ever before because of texting and Twitter and things like that. It's tough to pull it off.
Okay, and so how do you dump somebody? You know, there's some girls in Toronto. They wrote a book about how to dump a guy, and I'm just curious about your technique.
Hey, Adam,
I have two
on your mind right now.
Pardon me?
Is something on your mind right now?
No, because this has a link to recruiting.
Are you deflecting?
No, I'm just curious. I read her blog. She writes about dating.
I have two techniques. One is the never call back technique. It's the easiest one, frankly. People usually get the message.
You mean he leaves you messages and you don't reply?
Yeah, just move on.
That's pretty tough.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a tough world out there.
Okay.
But the best policy is to be pretty blunt and honest about it and not try to hurt someone's feelings. And then if all else fails, just make something up.
Okay, well, no. Give us an example of what you've said in the past.
Well, I don't know if that's appropriate.
Okay, but what have you said to a candidate then who's trying to, get a job and this person is no good? How do you let them down? How do you turn off candidates who are very eager to get a job?
Well, it depends, frankly, on why they're no good. In the industry that we work with, the longevity of a career is pretty short. Once you hit a certain age, it's tough to get a new job.
Uh-huh.
We have to have those conversations pretty frequently. And again, I found that being pretty blunt is the best way to do it.
Really?
You remind someone when they got into the business, they knew it was a young person's business and there would likely be a time that they were going to have trouble finding jobs. And this is that time. And it's also time to start looking at a second career.
This is that time. That's a pretty nice phrase.
Well, it's all about time.
There's going to be times when you don't get a job.
This is one of those times.
One of those times. But you don't tell them what the case. Okay, but what if it's not that case? What if it's not a matter of age? Do you tell them what the client says?
It depends on what we agree to with our clients. We often try to coordinate stories, and if the information that they give us is confidential or if it's relatable to the candidate. So we coordinate with our clients first.
Okay. Here's one for Dennis Smith. Dennis?
Yeah?
Do I make you ashamed to be an American? That's what Mendoza's friend told me. No answer?
Thank you for that, by the way.
Pardon me?
No shame, baby.
Okay, good. Should I keep asking questions? I got 6 or 7 people here who are experts at what they do. Don't they have anything to talk about at the beginning of the year?
Yeah. Hey, I want to talk about that whole format of blogs and what you should do and how much and whatever.
Go ahead.
Ever since I started, people have been telling me, hey, you should do this or that, and you're doing too much, you're doing too little, you got too many pictures. And, here's my feeling. Those probably aren't the people reading your blog anyway.
Mm-hmm.
In the spirit of what blogging is all about, if you can't be yourself and do what you think works and what is working, then why do it?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Sorry,
okay,
I got a
message for Dennis.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Dennis.
Yo.
Well, he's left the vacuum because now that he's third party, we no longer have a high identifiable corporate blog.
That's true. Is Microsoft Jobs blog still in existence? Because they don't have
it is.
Anymore.
Gretchen's back.
Oh, she is, eh?
Yep.
Well, it actually doesn't like me because she didn't answer
she's
any
back
of my
at the
emails,
same blog?
Facebook messages. Really?
Well, I'm surprised about the fact that there's so few corporate blogs. And
yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? I'll send you a notice from I forget who's post. There's a guy at Yahoo, Eric something or other. He had a posting and he had a list of all the blogs, big companies that have blogs, like very, very few. Blogs have not caught on with big business, and only 5% of small businesses apparently have a blog. So all the blogging triumphalists were wrong. They're not going anywhere for the time being. Although Mr. Mustache, a guy who posts on my group blog, he claims that actually the communications guys still haven't caught on, and they will in about a year, I guess. And he said they'll do it well when they really get on board. True or not, I don't know. Now, I want to say something to Dennis. Dennis, you said something once that really impressed me.
Hey, hang on 1 second, buddy. Come back to me in about 30 seconds.
What, are you in the washroom or something like that?
Yeah, I got to put my clothes in the dryer. Hang on.
Oh, boy.
That's a very professional production here.
Yeah.
Laundry
okay.
on the Animal Show.
Does anyone want to argue with me about the statement I made about blogs? No?
No.
Make the statement again. I don't know if
they haven't caught on. Nobody believes in them. No real businesses, small or large, take the time to have them. They don't think they're that good. It isn't hot like everybody said it was going to be. Now everybody's moved on to microblogging or Twitter marketing or something like that. These are all just fads.
I can disagree with that.
Okay, Amy, give Shally first shot. Go ahead.
No,
Shally.
I was going to change the subject to Twitter, but if we want to keep on with blogs and microblogs, then let's keep on with it.
Give Shally a break first, okay? Shally, you go ahead.
Well, the thing is here, I started a newsletter in the late 90s, you know, before the turn of the century, and
that's
was the thing back
joke,
then
yeah.
was newsletters.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I moved my newsletter to a blog, and now it's a blog, and then there's group blogs, and it just keeps evolving. It's, you know, it's television, MTV killed the radio star, and you know, iPods killed the MTV star. And it just,
yeah, you didn't address the question. Not many people are blogging. It's not catching on. Maybe newsletters are, you know, for the minority as well. Amy, your turn. Twitter.
How are we going to use it the best in the recruiting world? Any thoughts?
None at all. I thought you were going to tell me.
No, I need to know.
You know, speak to Dennis. Dennis uses Twitter.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter as well. Hey. Dennis got me on Twitter.
It's slow, just like Facebook. I get an email a day saying, how many people have you hired on Facebook? And I say, none. But that's not my point today. 6 months from now, that might be different.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Twitter in 2 years, you're not going to care about it one way or the other.
That's Dave Manister?
That's right.
Pinkfish of ERE. You're saying, what about Twitter, Dave?
In 2 years, you won't care.
Care about what?
Twitter.
About Twitter? Excellent.
You're not talking about it at all.
I don't care about it now, so.
I don't care about it now either, but.
I don't care about it now either. I want to make sure I'm not missing the boat.
Hey,
okay.
But if you look at it from a recruiter's perspective, and it's one more way to connect with somebody in the, for example, my targeted niche in the wireless world, then I'm going to connect with them on Twitter or call it Flitter or Facebook or whatever. It really doesn't matter to me. But it's just a place where I'm going to connect with people.
Okay, well, I'm a LinkedIn guy over Facebook as well, and maybe you're just too old, Dennis, okay?
I'm going to disagree with the group on the whole Twitter thing. It may not be called Twitter, but the problem is not the Twitter itself. The problem is the interface and getting information on there. If you had seamless voice recognition that you could just say, hey, I'm doing this, or hey, I'm doing this now, that's when that's going to have a resurgence. So I'd make a prediction on that once voice recognition is seamless and it works and it's you don't have the problems, then you'll see things like Twitter and the microblogging and micro postings really take off. But
does anybody understand what he said?
I understand what he said.
Tell me what he said, because I don't get it.
He said that it doesn't make a difference if Twitter lives or dies, that the concept behind it is going to be a
yeah,
good
but
one.
That's what you said, Dave. Dave Manister said that's not true, right? You're disagreeing with Donato, am I right?
I actually do disagree with him. I think that mobile devices are going to be an important part of communications moving forward. I think that the concept of blogging to those or microblogging to those via Twitter is kind of an early adopter's kind of look how cool this is. You look what we can do kind of thing that I don't think it's going to really catch
But what
on.
About text messaging? Everybody hears that Gen Y loves text messaging. Are recruiters going to communicate with their candidates by text messages?
I think mobile devices are going to be hugely important.
What's that like? Email? You get email on your BlackBerry? Is that what you're talking about? Amy asked this question. You can't just send like 140 characters to somebody, which is what Twitter allows. There's no substance there. What's the point?
Only what Twitter allows. You can send double that in an SMS message, but still, that's basically just a couple of sentences at the most, which is why everybody's using these, you know, short abbreviations like, you know, LOL and things like that. I think SMS, moving on, I posted this on my blog a long time ago and caught a lot of flack from people like Cheeseman, where I said that recruiters will use SMS to communicate with Gen Yers because we'll be able to send them an email from Outlook, in other words, from our regular email program, to their SMS. And I posted instructions on how to do that. And, of course, I caught a lot of flack because all the critics said, well, gee, you don't want to be emailing people's cell phones because they have to pay for the text message, and that's going to be a different kind of spam, and you're just a spammer, blah, 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 blah. Whiny, whiny, whiny. But guess what? They're doing it.
And it won't matter in the long run. Those text messages will be free.
Yeah, and everyone's got unlimited text messaging pretty much anyway.
Thank you. But my point is that we're using it, and you know, and people that are interested in getting in touch with these Gen Yers are going to email them or SMS them or Twitter them or text message them or, you know, IM them or whatever the hell it is that you need to do in order to get in touch with them. These are all just different vehicles for communication.
So essentially what you're saying is you're going to email their phones or instead of their BlackBerries or something like that. I mean, Jason Davis, if you're with him for, you know, 10 minutes, he gets like 10 emails and phone calls. He doesn't pay any attention to you already anyway, right? So you'll be able to get it directly to the person. That's all. I mean, but the point is those tiny, minuscule messages, you might as well have a pager if that's what you're after. Isn't it the truth?
Well, it can't replace conversations.
Give me a chance. Ladies first, Shally.
Well, it can't replace conversations, and I'll be as old school about that as I can ever be. If you just need to confirm interview times and things like that, set up a time to chat, then that's one thing, but it can't replace the phone.
Okay, Shally, your turn.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not going to see phone screens happening over SMS anytime soon. I mean, that's possible, but I agree with that. It doesn't replace the relationship. It's just another way of communicating. The relationship either is there or isn't there. And I think part of the reason that Cheeseman and some of the other critics thought that my idea was a bad idea was because they felt like there was no relationship. So if you're emailing to SMS, that all of a sudden you're basically just another invader, you know, that they don't know, that's invading their personal space and costing them, you know, SMS credits or whatever.
Okay.
But
what
the reality
is,
we do the same thing when we cold call people. We do the same thing when we cold email people.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, listen, what I'm hearing is that blogs aren't anywhere as popular as they were supposed to be. You know, these mobile devices are just another way to say, hey, I need to speak to you. Everything's really old school, like Amy said. You got a phone, you got email. That's essentially it. Am I right or wrong?
Let me tell you why blogs aren't popular.
Go ahead.
It's hard to blog. It's not easy, okay? People have to be creative. They have to be consistent. They have to – the technology is easy, sure. Yeah, you can create a blog right now in 3 seconds by going on Blogger or any one of a number, you know, TypePad and WordPress and all these others. But to actually have content that people like is difficult. So the problem is – a lot of people try it and abandon it. The abandonment rates are so high that you end up having to sift through a lot of garbage. Some of it is even stale garbage that, you know, someone started a blog 6 months ago, blogged for about a week, and then they dropped it because they couldn't keep up. I think that they're not as successful as people thought they were going to be because it's a lot harder than people thought it was going to be.
I agree with you, but with big companies, they could actually hire somebody. The thing is, they don't want to communicate two ways too much. The Chevy Tahoe, they had like this, they let visitors create their own commercials with tools they put on their site, and a bunch of environmentalists, anti-SUV guys came there, and they created commercials, but commercials that the company didn't like. Some consultants, like Charlene Lee, said, oh, keep your enemies close to you, that's fine that they come and wreck your site, but not everybody agrees. I think that was a big warning to the big business community. So the small guys don't have the time or the brains, I'll agree. The big guys, they don't want to hear what's going on. Yes or no? Nobody?
That's a different point that I was trying to make, but I agree. I think, you know, consider blogging in that sense, in that context that you just mentioned with the big boys, with the Ford, or the, you know, the Chevy Tahoe, and Ford has blogs, and, you know, Disney has blogs. It's advertising, okay? So it's just another form of advertising. I think if you're going to have a successful form of advertising, and this is not my area of expertise at all, if anything, I'm more on the, you know, grassroots side of advertising than anything else. Maybe Dave can pitch in here. But I think if you're going to have a successful form of advertising, you need to be consistent about the message that you put out. And if you're doing that in a blog and letting other people put stuff on your blog for you, then that message isn't going to be consistent.
It is a form of advertising. I think Amy would agree with me. She's in the advertising business, essentially, as service servicing that business, but it's a special form of advertising. It's way more sophisticated if there's a conversation than the average ad. Amy, would you agree?
Yeah, I would liken it more to corporate communication than true advertising. And I think that you have to be worried that your consumers will see through thinly veiled advertisements in your blog, and you can't give the corporate line. And I think that's what most big companies are struggling with: how to make something that reads as genuine, that doesn't sound like a bunch of crap.
That's why I don't like the corporate communications tagline to that, though, because that's exactly what you get, I believe, when it's coming from that. Well, from corporate communications, you're getting the stuff that's just, hey, we won this award this year and whatever.
And
hey,
look at what we're doing. We're so great.
Yeah.
It is possible to get out a corporate message, but also give value at the same time. So if you're having a discovery process, or you're researching something, and you're kind of showing the results of your research and say, hey, by the way, we got a product that can automate some of this, but here's how you can do it manually. I think there's value there, and that's pretty much what I do.
Okay, that's Donato.
I agree with that 100%.
Do people ever come and leave nasty comments or critical comments on your blog?
No. They've been very positive. I'm really impressed with guys like Glenn Gumacher who spend the actual time and give you kudos and say this is what's great and this is what sucks. And you know he's been a straight shooter, and he's really helped me make my blog better. So
let's say somebody left a half a dozen, people left a half a dozen messages, or one guy every time he'll challenge you on your stuff. Would you allow that kind of comment?
Sure, as long as it's well thought out. I mean, if it's just throwing, slinging mud.
Yeah,
no.
Well thought out.
I'd love that.
Okay. Now listen.
Shally, I would love that.
Shally.
The beauty of it, man.
Well, for people to tell you, Shally, Elvis is wrong, you don't mind?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I had a conversation, great conversations with Cheeseman over the SMS thing I was bringing up earlier, and we became fast friends.
I don't think Dave would agree with you.
I think an open conversation, sorry to steamroll over here, but I think an open conversation is really what I value about a blog. It's supposed to be two-way. If you use a blog to push, and do corporate marketing or PR or whatever it is, mm-hmm. then it's a one-way conversation. What's the difference between that and a website? I would rather have the conversation. That's what I like.
I got to say, I completely agree, because I actually incorporated elements of a debate I had with a Dutch friend on a Dutch blog. They had been debating about LinkedIn relationships, and some of the comments that he made afterwards were so good that I actually, kind of pasted them in and added them in as an update.
It's a little different from the Dave Mendoza I know, but I'll let you get away with that. There's one thing I want to comment here before I forget, because I do forget things. You know, every career counselor says, oh, you got to have a blog. It's, replacing the resume. That's so much garbage. If only just what Shally said, it takes too much work to run a blog. And I'll bet, again, Amy, sorry if I'm focusing on you too much, but you're working with communications people. Mm-hmm. How many candidates have blogs in your business?
Well, we work in a creative business, so I think we probably have more that have blogs simply because there are a lot of writers.
Yeah,
people
that's why.
For creative
those guys
outlets.
Should have blogs. Mm-hmm. How many, what percentage of them do?
I would say 30 to 40% of the creative.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, but when I move it over to the non-creative side of the advertising marketing business, it's like 5 or 6%.
Okay. Is there anybody, I see there's a ton of people online here, anybody I haven't acknowledged who wants to say anything, who can actually speak? Because I think there's more people on the phone than people who actually have a chance to talk. Anybody there who hasn't had a chance yet?
I've talked, but can I ask Amy a question?
Go ahead.
Sure. Who's this?
It's Jason.
Hey, Jason.
How are you?
Fine. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. Don't go out on a date with her. You're married.
No, I know. I know. I know. My question is, so you have a third-party blog.
Yes.
I've been a fan of it for a long time.
Thank you.
He is. He's being honest there because he told me right away that he loved your blog.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
For years and years. So my question is, how many candidates, let's say in the last 24 months, have you placed that you can attribute to that blog?
None.
Really?
Well, we have two blogs, one that's client-focused and one that's candidate-focused. We have a lot of interaction with our candidates on Wired and Hired, but as far as a recruiting tool to recruit new candidates to us who we then place at our clients, I cannot directly attribute any of that.
So no candidates found you through search engines, just looking for things they normally look for, and then find you, contact you? And
if they come to us that way, I'm not aware of anyone.
Okay.
What about
not
clients?
That we've placed. There have
what
been people
clients?
That have reached out.
What about clients?
I have had a couple inquiries from new prospects based on the blog. Someone
so
sent them
really,
a link to the
it's
blog.
It's really then, I'm going to cut you off, it's really for the maintenance of relationships than for the establishment of new relationships. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
Everybody, anybody want to chime in on that? No? Okay,
great. I do.
Okay, who are you?
It's Amy Beth.
Amy Beth, welcome to the show.
Amy Beth, it's great to meet you.
Hi.
Two Amys. Go ahead. Fight. Cat fight, as Jim Stroud said.
Well, my personal blog hasn't produced candidates or anything, but it did produce me a new job. So I think that is, you know, an argument for establishing a new relationship.
Okay, so that's like the job hunters or career management type argument for a blog. People can see what you're doing, and you get to be known in your field. Is that right?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Dennis Smith has made hires from his blog.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. Listen, man, in terms of resumes, see, that's what I target, right? I'm targeting the wireless niche out there for job seekers, and I probably get easy 20, 30 resumes a week. I get very few comments on the blog. I get a ton of emails.
And then you convert them into placements, not just
yeah,
the job
you know, we've
for the
had
database.
Probably in the last 6 months, five in the last month that I've been here, probably two of those came from the blog here in my new job. So
you've made two placements this month because of that blog?
Jason, you're not supposed to hear that, dude.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. I'm going to have my blog guy get in touch with you.
Yeah, but how
you
come Dave Mendoza,
hey,
how come Dave Mendoza had to tell us about that? You didn't speak up yourself. What kind of guest are you?
Everybody's first question is how many hires do you make, right? And so they've been asking that for 3 years. Well, it takes about 3 years. It takes some
Dennis is so modest. Everyone always has to pump him up to get some information out of him.
So you didn't get these calls. I mean, these resumes, good resumes from the start. It has just started recently. Is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah. I mean, you know this. It's important in our business to be found, and it takes a while of blogging to be found.
Mm-hmm.
So I have now, since I've been blogging a while, I make hires, I get resumes every week, and I get job offers.
And has the new URL, wirelessjobs.com, which you've borrowed from J.D. Jason Davis, has that made a difference?
Absolutely.
I mean,
there's no question. I wouldn't be on the phone with you today.
Okay. Sorry, somebody else wanted to say something.
Yeah, this is Shally. Can I speak on behalf of somebody else that isn't on the call?
Go ahead.
So Gretchen Ledger at Microsoft, she's, you know, the original. Her and Zoe Goldring started the Microsoft Jobs blog.
Right.
And, of course, you know, being a big company and having a lot of, you know, internal politics and everything, tracking their activity and justifying what they were doing is really important. I'm totally speaking on behalf of Gretchen and Zoe here, so I'm probably going to be corrected. But this is what I remember from when I was there. They created a system that was able to track how successful their blog was in bringing candidates in. And they had quite a few hires to their name from the blog, but the difficult thing was that nobody would give them credit for the hires because they had to actually ask new hires, how did you hear about this job in the first place, or how did you hear about Microsoft? And in that hire survey, when people started, that's when people would say, oh, I heard about it on Microsoft's jobs blog, or, you know, something to that effect. So they would then, after the person had even started, that's when they would forensically go back and get credit for some of these hires.
Amy, you have to do that. You don't know. You might have all kinds of placements on account of your blog.
Oh, yeah. I'm open to it completely. Like I said, I'm going to get my blog guy on.
I don't think so, though. Anyway,
really?
Thank you, Shally, for that. Somebody else wanted to speak, too?
Let me give a plug to jobsyntax.com if anybody hasn't checked that out. That's
Are they
Joel
back?
Gretchen's company.
They're back?
Well, the website's still there. I don't know if they left or were back or whatever, but
I think
Gretchen's back at Microsoft.
Yeah,
and
baby Liam wrecked that company, okay?
Oh, they did? Okay,
yeah,
well, sorry.
When Zoe had a baby, isn't that a movie or something like that? It sent things down the tubes. That's my impression.
Shows you how much I know. But Gretchen's still around, so
okay.
You can reach out to her with questions
yeah,
about
I'll,
this.
I'll reach out to her. Okay, somebody else wanted to say something.
Yeah,
Amy,
I'll
Beth, congratulations on your new job, by the way.
If over a 24-month period you consistently write, if you're a third-party recruiter, if you consistently write about the searches you're doing and the challenges and things about your clients and all of that stuff, and you write things that are targeted towards the audience you're looking to attract, I think it's impossible not to make placements if you're good at, you know.
Well, Amy's there to tell you you're wrong, Jason, even though you like her blog. Unless, as Shally suggested, you know, she doesn't realize that some of her other candidates are coming in through her blog, she's contradicting you, and she's got a good blog.
No,
I'm going to agree with you.
I know.
Okay. Anybody else have something specific they want to say? I'm open. No?
Well, I want to add, though, different industries get different results. You know, software engineers, for example, are very heavy in introducing their own blogs and
mm-hmm.
being very regular about it because they're writing about code and other things because they're proud of their achievements so
mm-hmm.
and their projects. So it depends. Marketing, again, another place where your brand, personal brand is important, so they're going to put themselves out. But HVAC guy, I mean, he probably won't, you know. An analog designer may not.
Okay, I got an important question here. Thank you, Dave. I think that there's systemic prejudice or systemic racism, if you want to call it that, against introverts in recruiting. Would anybody agree with me? Because these guys are quiet. They don't express themselves well. When I talk to people who aren't lively and articulate and I have a real sense that they're happy to talk to me, who's got their doorbell going there?
Pizza here?
Pardon me, pizza, yeah. Anyway, those guys, I'm biased against them, and I know it. And I try to say, balance out my, you know, emotional reaction and be more rational. But I'm sure that my clients feel the same way. If you send someone out to an interview who's a people person, he or she is going to do better than someone who's naturally happy to be on their own. Any comments on that?
Are you talking about the introvert being the recruiter or the introvert being the...
The candidate. There's systemic prejudice against introvert candidates in the job hunt.
Well, yeah, they don't interview well. They don't come off like they want the job.
Yeah, but they might be smart and they might be good at what they do.
Well, then
they
should get some instructions on how to interview better.
That's their personality. They can't overcome it. They're born that way.
Well,
yeah,
then maybe a field that requires only a boring personality.
Yeah. No, maybe it's something where we should have some affirmative action or something, some kind of program. Nope.
Any good recruiter is going to coach them before they land in that interview.
You know what? This is something innate. Well, that's what I keep seeing. You guys don't, you know, you can't be coached to change your personality before you go into an interview. In fact, I'll tell you, most interview coaching is nonsensical because you can't change.
You can be coached. You can be coached to answer questions specifically and to give back to them what they want rather than to give one and two word answers.
Well,
right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
I think it's more productive to coach your client in how to talk to a technical candidate and how to, build some area that they can connect on versus connecting with every single candidate and trying to. I mean, yes, you've got to coach a candidate, but coach a client first.
Dennis, this guy's hilarious. You're going to get kicked off the show if I hear any more of that.
Has anyone been kicked off the show before?
Not yet, but there's someone who's aching for it.
Come on.
He's got too many kids. That's his problem. Facebook or LinkedIn? I don't use. I have an account on Facebook.
Both.
Got 150 friends. I don't find it useful at all.
I live by LinkedIn. I don't use Facebook at all.
Anybody else, Shally?
I use Facebook personally, but not professionally.
Okay. Dave Mendoza?
Same.
The sourcers don't use it. The sourcers do not endorse Facebook yet. Is that right?
Absolutely. Not as a sourcing tool, not as a recruiting tool, not yet. The best thing that I've seen on Facebook are the landing pages for corporations, and again, that's advertising. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let me rephrase that. That's the second best thing. The best thing I've seen are the targeted advertisings. But again, that goes back to advertising. So you could be advertising on Second Life and Facebook and LinkedIn and everywhere you want to go. It's still advertising.
But you know we're talking about mass consumer advertising for the most part as well.
Yeah. Hey, as a recruiter, I'm not going to advertise on Facebook, right? I'm going to do it for free because I want to be found. Shelly, you don't really need to be found. But when you're in the business that I'm in, it helps to have one more avenue to help you be found. So I do it as a personal and a professional type activity, and I don't pour hours into it.
And you're getting resumes from Facebook as well?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said I want to be found. And the way you be – if I would have said I'm not going to get any exposure from blogging 3 years ago, so I decided not to blog,
yep.
Well, today I still wouldn't have any exposure.
Okay.
Got to start it somewhere.
An argument for Facebook, I've actually gotten candidates through Facebook. We have several going through the interview process right now. It just depends, you know, how you use it. Yes.
And how do you use Facebook in order to get them?
I've actually joined groups that are pertinent to our industry, and obviously reading through the rules of posting and discussions and everything on those in those groups. I'll post that we have opportunities available in, you know, this particular city or in this particular practice area. And I've actually had several people email me from that, connected me on Facebook, send me resumes, and we actually have one lady who is going through the final interview stages right
There's
now.
There's a first. Yeah. What do you know? What group was that, Amy, Beth?
Just a lot of the PR groups.
Okay, that's the area you're working in right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the area Amy, Beth, Amy, the other Amy's working in as well.
Hmm.
Hey, Amy, Beth, were you listening to any of Amy Hoomer's advice on dating?
Are you single?
Yes.
I'll write with you in mind as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, we're coming.
What's really cool, Animal, what's really cool about Facebook that I think is something unique is the fact that you can do targeted flyers. They have these ads called flyers. I don't know if you guys have heard of them, but you can create a flyer that appears only when people from a certain set of criteria hit Facebook. So when someone that is, say, living in Chicago logs in, they see your flyer. Or you can say, only post a flyer on their page if they work at Microsoft.
Just like a Google ad.
Or post a flyer on their page if they work at Microsoft in Chicago. And
okay.
It's very targeted, very specific. That's the coolest thing that I think I've seen on Facebook.
How much?
I think it's just a couple of dollars. It's kind of a pay-per-click program.
That's not bad.
No, I don't think it's bad. I think it's pretty cool. It's very targeted, but again, keep in mind the population of Facebook, you know, is just a small percentage. Not everybody is on
There's
Facebook.
A million people in Canada on Facebook.
How many people in Canada not on Facebook?
I guess 32 million. That's a whole lot. That's a huge number. I think 25% of the people in Toronto were on Facebook. Most of them apparently are looking either in high school or they're looking up their old girlfriends or boyfriends because they're married and bored in their 30s. Apparently,
so if you want to capture the attention of a quarter of the population of Toronto, you can put a flyer up for a few dollars.
I guess so. Most of them are 15,
cool.
but that's good. I never heard about that. I'm sure J.D. Jason Davis, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Animal, I can tell you this, though. One last shot on Facebook.
Who's this? Dennis?
The people, yeah.
Who's this?
People,
Dennis?
Yeah, this is Dennis.
Okay.
The people I want to reach, they're on Facebook.
Why?
Because they're crazy. I don't know.
Well, who are
and
you
I
reaching?
I really don't care why they're there.
Okay, but your people are telecommunications engineers, is that correct?
Yeah, so you create a group that's pertinent to your business. You invite
mm-hmm.
a guy who's a, for some reason, he's an executive-level guy, older than most of us, and he's on Facebook.
Really?
He sends me an email and says, he works about a mile from me and says, hey, I'm looking for a new job, what's up?
Uh-huh.
So... no hire there yet, but I might not have made a connection with him any other way.
Now, listen, if you guys, I'm just curious, not all of you are recruiters, you're sourcers. Still, you might have this. If you were going to give one piece of advice to job hunters for 2008, what would it be? Let's just go through everybody.
Oh.
Don't all
job
time
hunters,
it at once.
Huh? All right. This is Shally. One piece of advice for job hunters. I'll give you the piece of advice that I give all my friends and people that ask me this question personally. So, you know, stepping aside from my recruiter role and actually putting my job seeker hat on, what I did, my secret weapon was I specifically targeted the companies where I wanted to work. I chose the top three companies that, not the top three companies by Fortune 500 standards, but the top three companies that I wanted to work for, and then I focused all of my job search energy, my job seeking time and everything that I did with regard to looking for work, I focused all that energy on finding somebody at one of those three companies that would talk to me and get in the door. So what I did is instead of looking for work, in other words, going, you know, reading every job posting and putting out all my agents on Monster and putting up LinkedIn profiles and all the other things, all I did is focus all of my energy in getting in the door at those three companies. And it worked. I wanted to work at Coke when I first moved to Atlanta, and I got a job at Coke. I wanted to work at Google, and I got a job at Google. I wanted to work at Microsoft, and I got a job at
Microsoft. Okay, but you're Shally. Listen to him. The guy,
no,
you're,
but
you're...
he's absolutely right, though. He is. I get way too many emails from people who say, oh, I understand you're known in the recruiting industry. Here's my resume, and it's someone in piping. You know, it I can't help them, unfortunately. So they're not focusing their efforts, and that's time that should be otherwise better spent. So
pick a company that you want, one or two or three, and it could be, you know, if you live in Atlanta, working at Coke and Georgia Pacific and these companies, they're the employers of choice. But maybe in your particular space or your industry, you might want to work for Scientific Atlanta or something like that or whatever. Just pick a company, and then you can use Facebook and LinkedIn to find people that work there, email them, call them, say, hey, who do you know? I'm trying to get a job at this company. I'm really passionate about working at this company. And that's your entire focus. And, you know, you're not always going to get what you want, but you're a lot better off that way than you are just randomly looking for employment in a Sunday paper.
You know what? I'm going to endorse David Perry's book again, Guerrilla Marketing for Job Hunters. He discusses that in detail. Thank you, Shally. Next, anybody else got a tip for job hunters this year?
Okay, same thing, but don't apply for one more job, all right? So I'm basically taking what Shally is saying.
Is he Sally now? That's when you have your sex change.
Same.
Sally.
Sit around. Find us. You know, target the company you want or even the industry. And here's the example. In wireless, if you're a smart job seeker, you connect with somebody who's connected to the people in the wireless industry. If I wanted to stop what I was doing today, I would and go into the business Shally's in, I would do everything I could to connect with him, no matter what it took. Personal time, some sacrifice. So target the people in your industry that can put you in touch with the other people. It's relationship.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. Next, anybody?
All right. I've got two pieces of advice.
Go ahead.
The first one is it's still not the late 90s, and everyone needs to be realistic on their expectations for bonuses, sign-on bonuses, relocation packages. For a job seeker, they need to be realistic. And my second piece of advice somewhat contradicts the other two. I think that job seekers should be open to many opportunities that they might not already know about. I think it's limiting to say, here are the five companies I think I want to work for. I think when you work with a good recruiter, there might actually be 15 companies you want to work for and that you have a good shot at getting into. So that's my advice.
Okay, thank you. Although it doesn't necessarily contradict what they said, but I won't go into the details. Anybody else? We're running out of time.
If you're a morning person, don't work for Shally.
Who's that?
Someone that Donato mentioned as his source for blog comments.
Is this Glenn Guttmacher?
Howdy.
I never spoke to him before. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
The G-Man. So don't work for Shally. That's your job hunter advice?
If you're a morning person, I said.
Okay.
The man's smart.
Okay.
He likes to IM you at 3 a.m. with questions.
Okay. Anybody else? Job
Protect
hunter's advice.
Brand. Protect your brand. I saw a picture on LinkedIn of cleavage next to a martini glass, and that probably wasn't the best way to advertise yourself.
Oh, okay. Okay, one of your friends, right? Okay, closing remarks now. Anybody else want to say anything before they close? About, you know, thank the public for electing them as the best blog. We're all the winners here. This is the best of the best.
I just like to thank everybody for, you know, it's been an amazing couple of years of fun in the blogosphere, and everybody does it for
you. Yeah, yeah. If you don't give me that coffee card this year, you're in big trouble.
And I'll buy you a coffee.
Okay.
And,
I get a coffee card?
We're going to do the next year voting. It's going to be different than it was this year.
And, you know, I'll let everybody know about that soon.
Mendoza, he wants to know if he gets a coffee card as well as the trip.
He can have a Starbucks in Vegas.
Okay, I got a last word. If somebody comes on with those bells ringing again, they're out! That's it. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate you coming on to the show. Now, let's see if I have my closing thunder. There it goes. Bye-bye.
Hey, Michael.
The show's over.
Michael,
yes.
A question for you. Is Amy still on the phone?
Nobody's here.
Hey, can you pass me Amy's email address?
I will.
Thank you.
You're a sorcerer.
Yeah.
Listen, public.
Yeah, but why
source.
Why source it when you have it? If a friend
okay,
has it,
I'll be in touch with you immediately.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
So long.